What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment, let us know something about the episode. If there's a particular guest or topic that you'd like to have on, we're always checking your feedback on there and love to be able to take those suggestions and then get them onto future episodes. Before we get to today's podcast, I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors that help make the Diesel Podcast popular. The first is Target Sports USA. So if you're into the outdoors, hunting, taking road trips, going to the range, they're a great company. I've actually been a customer of theirs from way before the podcast even started, and they have some really cool benefits. So they have a special link for us. You're going to find it down below, or you can go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselpc, and you're going to get a free cleaning kit on your first order by going to that page. So it's a great way to get some cool maintenance items that you're going to need for your toys, and they have a ton of different choices, whether you're going to be hunting or going to the range. Incredible ways to check inventory, be able to see what's in stock, different brands, different options. They also have something that's really cool, which is a membership. Now, the membership is something where you get free shipping on every order. So whether you want one box or you're getting 50 boxes, no matter what it is, you get free shipping on it, plus an 8% discount automatically. And there's different times during the year where that discount can go up to 16%. So it always helps to save a little money, get some really cool gear we need for our hobbies out there. Part of being a member is you also automatically get entered into two giveaways. One is an all expense paid hunting trip to Colorado. So that includes airfare, meals, everything that you're going to need. It's 6 days long. It's really cool. So I know a lot of our listeners are going to be interested in that. You guys really love the outdoors. So you're automatically entered for that. Plus, they do a truck giveaway every year. So it's a Ford F-150 that they give away to members. And I think the last one, he was a member for 7 months and got it. So if you're existing, new, you join up. Great way to be able to save some money, get some free shipping, and get entered into two really cool giveaways. Also, Kershaw Knives, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the outdoors and hunting, fishing, EDC, things like that. But Kershaw Knives has a 40% off MSRP code just for you guys. If you use code 2024DIESEL40, you get 40% off MSRP. Just go to kershaw.kaiusa.com. And use that code. They have a bunch of choices for different opening mechanisms, blade steel, blade shapes, handle materials, and a whole lineup of knives that are designed to meet any budget. So if you're in the market, definitely head on over to their website, use that code, and get 40% off MSRP. All right, let's get to today's podcast. So another question, I haven't directly gotten this, but I've seen people talking about it, and then Adam, you mentioned it to me, is I think that there's still supply chain issues. I'm not involved in any manufacturing or sourcing parts, so I'm sure there are, and you guys are going to laugh when I say this, but I think they're still going on. And I've heard of people on the 6.7 Power Stroke side talk about getting a 2020 engine or newer or something, getting it from Ford because it has a warranty, and then putting it in an older truck, and it's kind of like a way they can really make their truck run. But you guys see something totally different. So I wanted to ask you, what's your perception or what are you guys seeing on that?
You want to take that one or?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So, and Cass answered me this one. I don't know if people are doing it. Well, there's two reasons. They're going to do it because things are available, but they also seem to think that a steel piston engine is an upgrade. And it may be in certain instances, but the steel piston in the 2020 was strictly put there because of the fuel injection pressures. It's a higher pressure in the 2020 and up 6.7 Power Stroke. So guys are wanting to put those engines in because they think it's an upgrade, and it's not necessarily an upgrade. They might be putting it in because they can get a hold of the 2020 and they can't get a hold of a 16, whatever it may be. Guys are doing this and they're being told, oh yeah, it carries a Ford warranty. The issue is you take your truck back to Ford when you have an issue, they're going to look at the VIN number on your truck and they're going to look at the parts that are in that engine, and it's not going to match up and your warranty's gone.
Right.
I guess really that's it. Anyone who's thinking that if they put a 2020 engine in it, in anything that's not a 2020 or 2020 and up, you won't have a warranty with Ford. They will decline your warranty, even if it's a Ford, obviously if it's a Ford engine.
I wish I could say that I couldn't speak from experience. But that's not the case. We had a particular issue. And I'm sure people go, well, as a new engine, what could possibly go wrong? Well, I can give you my experience, because I can tell you this engine went to Arizona, and the customer unfortunately never got a mile on this engine. And it was a brand spanking new engine from Ford. that they bought from us that they installed in 2015, I think it was. And it was a 2020, 2021, something like that. They installed it, and the block was cracked right out of the – and now that's the second brand spanking new block right out of a crate that I've seen that cracked. One was – this was cracked right in the cylinder wall. The other one was cracked in the main webbing. And, you know, it's a new casting. So there are casting defects, and it happens all the time, more so than what I'd like to even think about. But it's true. That's the reason why we do certain things to our cylinder heads and new cast heads. We pressure test every single one of them. I mean, if I had that much confidence, I could save myself a lot of money by just skipping that part of the process, but I don't because I have been bit. But yeah, that's what Ford's going to do. They're going to look and see and say, okay, yeah, this is a new engine. Great. Okay. We need your receipt. They look at your receipt and they go, wait a minute, this VIN number and this part number do not match. They are not compatible. So therefore we will deny your warranty. And Ford is definitely, there is no, you know, sliding it under this truck's tuned or whatever. I'll take it to this dealership and I've got a buddy. It just doesn't work that way because a lot of times those parts that are service part warranty, that goes back to Ford. And I've had to deal with Ford on a corporate level. And, you know, that's a nightmare. They don't, it didn't matter. We dealt with that on a particular issue on a turbocharger that we had failed. From Ford and wound up hydrolocking an engine. And when it's all said and done, Ford, I hate to speak, you know, for them, and they're not here in the room. I can just tell you what my experience has been. And it's been, you know, and we buy $1 million in parts from Ford yearly. I mean, we buy a ton of parts from Ford. It's a lot more than the guy that's just got, you know, something secondhand from somebody that he bought, but they won't do anything. And if you've gotten something, more power to you, but I have ran it up the chain, especially on this particular incident I'm thinking of. And it was just, sorry for your luck. So it's important to deal with, you know, somebody that's going to take care of the warranty, somebody that you can get a hold of, somebody that, you know, their name. And, you know, that is a major advantage than dealing with corporate.
With the availability side of that, what is it like from an engine building perspective? And then I'm sure it ties into the machines you talked about, Cass, and how you like them and being able to make parts, because I'm sure, like you mentioned, Adam, there's a segment that says, hey, I want this newer engine because of the pistons so I can run more pressure because they're doing something with their older truck. But I imagine probably the majority of them are like, well, what can I get? What's available? Oh, I can get this one. I'm going to put it in the truck. But how are you guys able to bridge it on the aftermarket and designing and manufacturing engines?
Well, I'm thinking front covers here, Cass.
Okay.
As one of them. You
know. Yeah, we've got a lot of designs and stuff that I'm working on currently. I've really tried to take a different role in the company, especially with Adam coming on board. That's been a big help. He's taken a lot of the duties that I used to get handed to me. He's helped fill in a lot of areas there. And so that's put me back into my mad scientist, hat I've got to wear now, which I love. I mean, honest to goodness, that's the only reason why I come to work. I love the fixing of the stuff. As far as answering your question on supply, you know, issues, man, I'm going to tell you what, it has gotten worse in some ways. I think parts quality has gotten worse. I've seen more garbage put out in the last year and a half from OE supplier, tier one suppliers to these OEs, that it is just downright scary. I've had another friend of mine that called me and he was a friend of his that worked at the dealership. And this guy's a well-known tuner. Anyways, he was going to buy a new truck and he called his friend that worked at the dealer and his friend told him about some issues that they were having. He said, just don't right now. Just wait. They're having too many issues out of this thing. And I don't mean to be a fear monger. I'm not trying to be that way, but I just know it from parts. And if you're in the repair side of things, you've certainly seen that too. I mean, it's not isolated to us. I think everybody's seen it. And you know, the problem with engine building is that we don't do turbos or injectors. Whereas there's a lot less, your bill of material on a turbocharger, I guarantee you, is a lot smaller than your bill of materials on an engine. Simple. The problem with it is all it takes is one component that you can't put out product. I would hate to think about what Ford and Chevrolet and Dodge or Stellantis or whoever went through when they have to put out a vehicle, right? And Ford's over there parking these trucks like they were because they didn't have chips. All it took was one component. And then they finally started sending out stuff and figuring out what we use in the aviation world is the minimum equipment list, right? If it doesn't have this, can it still fly? Check. All right, send the truck, right? But for us on the engine side of it, there's not really one of those components that's optional. You kind of need them all, right? So that's tough for us because supply chain is where I'm seeing issues right now. And it can be the smallest part. It can be a $2 part that keeps your engine from going out. Cam bearings are cheap. That's probably the cheapest part on the whole darn thing. If you don't have it, you're not running. So we've seen that, you know, Mahle is really having a lot of trouble right now. They have nothing available, seems like. And I'm not trying to rag on anybody, but then they know it. And everybody that deals with them knows it. But they're really, really far behind on stuff. Bearing manufacturers are really far behind on stuff. You know, King Bearings is an Israel company. They're an Israel-based company. And, you know, they've got wars going on that's affecting things over there. So this is a global economy. It's a global, you know, the industry that we're in, it's global. And so, you know, I live in Tennessee. I mean, we may have some guys out there with pitchforks out in the driveway right now. But, you know, I don't have to think too much about anything that happens in this area. But it does affect me that they're having wars over here, you know, in Israel, and because all those components come from there to be able to do our job. So it does affect somebody in Tennessee and affects the customer. Because of that, I guess, you know, I'm all about moving stuff in house. But there's some things that you're just not going to be able to move in house. A bearing is one of them. Cinder bearings, there's a lot of complexity. It's not machining a bearing. It's extremely complicated to be able to design and to manufacture one. So, but we do a lot of stuff. And the things that I look at for us that I manufacture in-house are things that I can do better than the factory did. Simple as that. If I can do it better than the factory did it, and I can remanufacture certain parts, you know, then that's a key component for me to move that in-house and to redesign that part. And in some cases, take an old part that would be coming in with the engine, like maybe a front cover or something of that nature, and do a redesign on it, fix it, and now give it back to the customer. And it's even better than what I was able to buy over here for it. So those are that's the low hanging fruit for me. And that's what I'm drawn to.
Part of this that really, you know, we were talking about it. My head's been out of that space for so many years now. I think it's 8 years that I don't know, like, what's in stock, what isn't in stock, how quickly you can get stuff out. But I'm still a consumer. And I made a purchase recently of something, and it was from a very well-known company that has stellar reputation for build quality. This doesn't have anything to do with automotive, but stellar reputation for customer service. And it's been a nightmare. And so I'm thinking of being a truck owner. And I think of all the different things we've talked about on a podcast, like the things earlier with break-in, fuel and oil, all those different things where if I'm able to get this engine, because all the parts are there and I'm able to get a tracking number, I want to make sure I don't have to go through that process again. I'm sure you guys don't want to go through the process again. But I always thought, you know, 2020, 2021, I thought, okay, this is just the way things are going to be right now. But here we are in 2024, and they're still kind of the same way. Most of my adult experience, I mean, obviously, it was prior to 2020. And it was always, when do I get my tracking? Here's my tracking. This is perfect. Everything's lined up. My customer service is lined up. So I'm really kind of sensitive to these topics because I'm not in that room anymore. I don't know. I just hear from truck owners a lot. So I think knowing a bit about supply chain issues, logistics, and then what you guys are doing to fix it, that would resonate with me because I think I don't want my truck down. I want to get it as quickly as I can, you know, with the quality that I can get it and be able to be you know, back up on the road. But you're probably shocked as a truck owner, because how many engines are you buying? You might need one for the whole truck, maybe one your whole life. And now you're used to, you know, is that one bearing holding up the whole thing? How long is it holding it up for? How long's this or that? And so I like to be able to talk about this to maybe prepare somebody. It's not 2019 anymore or 2010 or, you know, 2005 where stuff was just running like clockwork. It's so different.
Yeah. I heard somebody say if your business, if the business that you are working with is still complaining about COVID, you know, you better find a new business or something like that. I forget, but I don't know that COVID is necessarily what I would attribute this to. I'm sure it definitely knocked us off the, okay. So not to depart from all things diesel here, but I think that what COVID did is the effects of it, we are still seeing. When people are figuring out that, you know, they can work from home or whatever it might be, trying to get that workforce back in, it's not that we're not fighting the same problem where there was this, you know, oh, the world's coming to an end. You know, we're just going to sit. We're not going to buy anything, right? And then all of a sudden people realized that they weren't going to die. They started buying stuff. And then there was this huge deficit because, you know, we sold off all the inventory that we had. That's not the problem. The problem with it is that the workforce has not gone back to work. And, you know, there's that lull behind it. And nobody's ever really, really, truly recovered. A lot of companies have not really recovered from that. And that's the stuff that we're fighting. It's indirectly from COVID, but I wouldn't call it COVID. I would call it, to be honest with you, I think I would call it just it's a character flaw of America, really and truly, to put it mildly. And that's what we're dealing with. And that's going to be, that's the new norm, you know?
I think the aftermarket though, is like what you're just talking about, steps in so well. I did a podcast recently with a shop and we were going through different issues on different trucks, and they had mentioned on newer Cummins trucks, I think the front cover, I don't exactly remember, but they were talking about the bolts being loose.
Yeah.
And they've seen it more than once or a few times on these trucks. So I'm thinking even at the OEM level, you know, we're starting to see it, or we either ourselves or we knew somebody who got a new vehicle in this time frame, and you know, they tell you, hey, this part will be in the next 6 months, come back and you'll have AC running through your seats again, or the heat or whatever it might have been, because it was that one component that they just didn't have.
Well, I just got back from Mason, Ohio, and I did training there on another machine. But while I was up there, I was blown away at the level of automation that is now coming. And I think that it's coming on harder and stronger than it ever has. I see things, you know, as a business owner, you know, and we have 45 people. Okay. And that's a small business compared to, you know, Ford Motor Company or anybody. That's a small business compared to tons and tons and thousands and hundreds of thousands of companies. But if you own a facility and you have bills to pay, you have to figure out ways around the current problems that you have. And it's not just because this guy came in, he stubbed his toe, or he didn't like the way that his girlfriend looked at him that morning, and so he's not coming into work or whatever, and he just can't, you know, he's done with it. The business owner's got to figure out some other way of resolving this issue because they have a commitment to the customer. Automation is becoming affordable now. I'm seeing it. I was looking at one of these big robots, and it was massive. It was a Fanuc robot that was on a monorail system. They ran two of these things and they were running gearboxes, lights out. Okay. Nobody's there. There were 300 CNC. There was somebody telling me the other day that had 300 CNCs in this one facility. Okay. 300 and wow. half a dozen people ran the whole thing. Because it's all automated. It's written macros. The machine is so, there's so much logic that's programmed into it. But I mean, you go to shows like IMTS and you're just, it's incredible at these. So anyways, I was saying all that, say it was about $175,000 for this robot. And that sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but this thing's there every single day, 24 hours a day, and it's loading parts. And this thing runs on this monorail system. So it has an optical sensor. So it takes this casting that it's running two different castings, but it's got to identify these castings. So it takes it and it sticks it in front of the optical sensor, and then it identifies the feature on the casting. And then from there, it has logic written, so it knows what machine to load it in. And it's basically timed for each cycle. And then when it gets done, it takes the part out. It's got a hydraulic clamp, a hydraulic fixture, and it runs it all the way down the end of the facility, puts it into another piece of equipment where there's another Fanuc robot that blows air off of this thing, and you out comes a, I mean, it's programmed. It blows it anywhere the chips might could get. It's programmed. It picks the part back up. It takes it back. It shows it again, and it tells it, okay, put it over in this pile. And it does that, and it does it all day long. So it's incredible to see that. And it makes me go, you know, that's truly the future because of the work ethic and the people that we're dealing with. But man, COVID just lit that fire of, I'm just not going to, I'm not going to work all my life. I'm just not going to do it, you know? And people have just sat down and you can't get them motivated. Now, honestly, and this is probably taboo and this is probably things that I shouldn't say, but I've often said this before as an employer, if I can get a kid, if he's coming out of high school before he goes to college and he sits down for 4 years and gets this debt that is just unrealistic so that it prices him outside of the workforce. If I can get that kid before he sits down for 4 years, I can do something with him. But after I get them and they're in there for 4 years, it's like trying to get those wheels turning again. It's just, it's nearly impossible.
So let me say something just because I feel like we were going that direction. So as an engine manufacturer, having thousands of different part numbers, any which one could hold us up. We've done, you know, I've only been here a year, but I've seen those shortages come up over and over and over again. And we've done a really good job of staying ahead of them. But we also know what's going to happen in the future. And there's many parts that we know are going to come short again and are going to shut us down and stop production. And Cass hasn't talked about this, so maybe you don't want to say what these parts are. But I know you've got a lot of parts that are getting ready to come into shortages again that Cass has come up with, either making the whole part himself or finding ways to fix the failures of the old ones and basically take a reman part and make it work again, where normally someone would just throw that in a scrap pile. So I don't know. It's kind of fun to watch the thinking of several months into the future. I think the progress on those parts comes when we see a shortage coming and then magically we're able to find a semi truck full of them. And then you don't pay attention to it for much longer, you know? But I'm seeing the progression of a lot of those things get closer.
Yeah. And that's only because, like I said, with you filling in that position, it's allowed me to kind of, you know, business to me, honestly, and this is completely, you know, it's worth what you paid for it. Business to me almost feels like a battlefield. You know, if I got somebody there that can, I'm going to try to take the hill, but I need you to give me some ground fire and coverage, you know, and that's what it is when you're starting a business, because you're wearing all these hats. But when you start getting a team, and I'll tell you, the progression of Choate has been drastic in the last year, year and a half, because of the team, but I can progress now as the company and bring the company with me because I've got a team back here that's kind of covering me with, you know, with coverage fire, right? So I can take and get to that next stage. And then when they do, I can kind of hold the fort there while they come up, you know, and it's just constant. That's the way it works. That's the way a company should work, I feel like, with a good team that you can trust. And you don't want to step out there and get, you know, blown away if that guy's not doing a good job covering you. And so you have to have a lot of confidence. So yeah, we're able to do those things now. And when I feel like there for a while, we had kind of stalled out in that progression, but it's starting to move again now where I'm getting back into the engineering seat of things. And there's a lot of fun things that are coming down. And absolutely. That's the fun part.
It all kind of circles back around to the quality of what we're getting from the, you know, OEM level. And a few months back, we had done an episode with you guys about the 2019 plus 6.7 Cummins, and it wasn't clickbait. Like, I think we titled it like, "Don't buy this truck, they messed up." And there were thousands of comments on social media about it. And I wanted to ask, I don't remember them verbatim, you know, specifically, but one, are you guys still seeing issues on those? Are you seeing more? Are there more failures? What's kind of taken place on that platform since the chat we had it a few months back?
Did you see one thing just real quick? Do you see LaVon, or if it wasn't LaVon, it was someone at Fire Pump posted they had pallets worth of 2019 Cummins blocks for sale?
No, I didn't see that.
I saw that. And I'm like, I wonder why you're getting rid of those blocks.
Yeah, I wanted to tag on that and say, hey, you know, if you run out, let me know because I want more where that came from. But no, I mean, nothing's changed. Cummins is, you know, it's not like they've issued a recall on any of that stuff. I'm seeing a ton of camshaft failures. And there's guys out there and, you know, good guys, and they're making a lot, you know, they're moving a lot of product, fixing the cams and stuff like that. And, you know, they're dumping $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 more into those engines. And I just think all the time, man, I had another manufacturer contact me and said, hey, we've got a new cam developed. We've got lifters and this, that, and the other, whole package we'd like to put together. And I'm just not interested in it. Simply because I have to warranty the thing. It's one thing to manufacture or sell a part. Okay. I know my part may not fail, but the whole thing's going to grenade around it. Well, that's great. That works great for you, but not so much for me because I'm in this thing for the next 5 years and I've got to make sure this thing lives for this guy. So it's not something that I'm interested in. I've had a lot of people ask me, why don't you just come out with this, that, and the other, because there's really no good solid fix for that thing. That's going to be, if a guy goes and throws power to the truck, that bottom end is just a big, big problem. And there's no fix for that. Other than we're doing what we're doing right now, and that is the retrofit, and we don't have problems. I mean, that's it. We just don't have any problems.
I see it becoming
retrofitting.
Not problems for that, right? Do what?
So we're retrofitting the older engines to fit into the 19, is what Cass is talking about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, tried and true. Flat tap. It's been, you know, it's legendary. It's what Cummins has had tremendous success with, and. And I'm not one of those hardcore, you know, it's got to be flat. It's not. If it worked, I'd be on board with it, but it doesn't. And so we are still seeing a good bit of those. We are working on some development that will help us to be able to have a faster turnaround because some of the components that we have to have are not readily available to us. So I am working on that project amongst others, but that will be nice to get that completed.
That's one of the biggest stories of the last year, one of them that I can think of, because I'm sure you guys know there's different parts of the industry that put pressure on other parts of the industry. And so I keep seeing emissions compliant tuning, turbo kits, injectors, fuel systems, all these things to be able to put on these trucks. And then on that episode, you know, you guys are like, hey, there's nothing we can do with this block to fix it. But that doesn't stop another segment of the industry from saying, here's an extra 200 horsepower, 250 or 300. And so it just seems like this inevitable kind of intersection that's going to happen where there's going to need to be a solution for them, because it's a really popular truck. People love them. And yeah, it was really interesting to hear the comments, because some people said, I'm not buying the truck. Thanks for, you know, having the guys on to talk about it. Other people didn't believe it. It's Cummins. They never make anything that doesn't hold up to, you know, 800, 900, 1,000 horsepower stock. And I don't believe it, but it's just, you know, the information, the experience you guys have, things I've heard from other people in the industry, it's going to be a major issue moving forward. So I was curious about that and wanted to, you know, see if you guys are still seeing the issues or just what's been going on with it.
Well, I mean, so the mission statement for Toyota Engineering is to find fixes to OE problems, right? And I'm not here. I told somebody today, they were interviewing with me, and honestly, I told them, I'm not a good business person. I do well in that, we've done well in business, but my mindset is not make the dollar, make the dollar, make the dollar. It's always fix the problem, fix the problem, fix the problem. And because ultimately, that's what our relationship is. It's not that they bought an engine. It's that they had a problem. Their problem was they needed to get to work, right? And they needed to go somewhere. They needed to haul a camper. Yeah. They needed to go on vacation. And I'm just the guy. We're just the people that are supposed to make that happen for them. You know, obviously, if I could come up with another way for this thing and do an engine delete and still be able to get there, they would be just as happy, right? But it's not going to work that way. But if I could come up with a solution, you know, with what I have, but you know, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, as they say, and there's nothing, anything that you can do about that. So I'm not going to sell somebody a product just for the sake of it's almost, it kind of makes me think of, you know, a guy going, you know, you've got a, it's like somebody having a foundational problem that their house is obviously going to erode away and wash into the ocean or whatever, and go, you know what, but I can fix your paint problem, right? You know, I see that paint peeling over there. Let me get you a quote on that. Let's get you fixed up. You obviously know this thing's not going to be there another 3 weeks. It's just, it's not the fix. So that's the reason why I'm not going to go down that alley.
Well, it was really cool to catch up with you guys, ask a bunch of questions that our listeners have. I'm really excited to see what the rest of this year has in store for you guys with the dyno and new parts and fixes and all the different things out there. So I appreciate you guys chatting with me today. I'm sure there's always questions whenever we connect and chat that I didn't ask. What's the best way to contact you guys, ask questions, be able to follow? I know Cassie had mentioned your YouTube channel, but be able to see the new things you guys are working on coming out with.
So I'll say all of our socials are Choke Performance, at Choke Performance, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. It's all at Choke Performance. And we're very active on there. ChokePerformance.com is a website. We just got the new website up. We're working some bugs out there, but it's a great thing, and it's on its way to being a lot greater. And then otherwise, just give us a call, 901-553-9847. Also, another big thing, so we are now Premier Performance, APG, used to be called Premier Performance. We're now available through them, and we got a lot of other big distributors on board pretty quickly here. So if you're a shop, it's a lot easier for you to get our parts now. And it's going to continue to get easier very quickly here.
Very cool. I know a lot of shop owners. Yeah, I know a lot of shop owners listen, so they'll definitely find that useful. Like I said, it was really cool to connect with you guys and be able to chat about engines, which is at the heart of the diesel podcast, or diesel engines. So,
yeah. And one last thing here, if there are shop owners out there, we're looking desperately for good, solid shops that can do installs all the time across the country. And you know, a lot of these shops are booked up, and I get it. And that's great and fantastic, and I'm happy for you. But if you're not, and you're looking for more installs and taking on new work, please give us a call, because there are areas of the country that we are, you know, we're expanding rapidly, and we're trying to cover better for our customers. And so the only way that's going to happen is if we have a good dealer network. And we have a great dealer network currently, but I want to make it even better. So I would ask you to reach out, talk to Ethan Ross. He is in charge of our dealer program over there, so that we can get you guys set up. We're working on some stuff for dealer training that is going to help to certify the shops that we're going to be really shifting a lot of installation business that way. So that we can get the customers better taken care of.
Very cool, guys. Well, thanks again for chatting with me today, answering our listener questions, and look forward to sitting down with you guys here shortly once you got some new developments, which it seems like you guys always have some cool new stuff and projects and parts coming out. So it was a great time chatting with you.
You too.
You as well.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to Kershaw.KAIUSA.com. Use code 2024DIESEL40 for 40% off MSRP. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear for EDC, hunting, fishing, around the job site, around the house. They've got a ton of different knives to choose from. You can pick from different opening mechanisms, blade steel, blade shape, handle design, and they have a whole lineup of knives designed to meet any budget. So use code 2024DIESEL40, get 40% off MSRP. Also, Target Sports USA, it's a great company. I've been a customer of theirs from way before the podcast even started. So if you're into hunting, the outdoors, hitting the range, things like that, they've got a ton of inventory, ton of different brands, different options. And if you go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC, there's a special offer for you guys. So on your first order, you'll get a free cleaning kit, which is really cool to be able to get. Plus, they have a membership, which is really awesome. So when you join up, You get free shipping on any order. So whether you're ordering one box, 20, 50, 100, whatever it might be, you get free shipping plus an instant 8% discount. There's also different times during the year where that discount can get deeper. So that's just something that you automatically get. And some other benefits to that membership is when you sign up, you automatically get entered into a giveaway. There's two giveaways. The first is for hunting. So there's a hunting trip, all expense paid in Colorado. They take care of everything that you would need. It's a great experience, great way to be able to get out there. Maybe it's a hunt of a lifetime. I've always wanted to do it. So you're automatically entered for that. Plus, they do a truck giveaway. So every year, they give away a Ford F-150. And I think the last person who won was a member for 7 months. Got the call, won the truck. So those are some added benefits to being able to join up. We appreciate their support in helping make the Diesel Podcast popular. Plus, all of your support out there. You guys who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We appreciate all that support and look forward to bringing you guys more of the content that you want to hear in 2024. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.